You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So today I want to congratulate President-elect Joe Biden. The President-elect is no stranger to the Senate. He's devoted himself to public service for many years. I also want to congratulate the Vice President-elect, our colleague from California, Senator Harris. Beyond our differences, all Americans can take pride that our nation has a female Vice President-elect for the very first time.
December the 15th, 2020, that is Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. 42 days after the election, after the Electoral College numbers were submitted by various states, all the states, I should say, for the first time acknowledging Joe Biden's victory, officially referring to him as president-elect. President Trump continues to refuse to accept defeat. But the votes are in for the Electoral College. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said, quote, Trump needs to take his cue from Leader McConnell. It's time to end his term. Stop the misrepresentations and acknowledge that Joe Biden will be our next president. Here's how the votes came down for the Electoral College. Biden, 306. You need 270. That 306 equals the number Trump had against Hillary. Trump, this time, 232. The official tally count estimates Biden at 51.4% of the total vote, 81 million. Trump at 46.9%, 74 million. And one of those, by the way, casting a vote on the Electoral College, Hillary Clinton, the 2016 Democrat presidential nominee, former Secretary of State, former First Lady. And then after casting her vote, once again, she said, I believe we should abolish the Electoral College and select our president by the winner of the popular vote, same as every other office. But while it still exists, I'm proud to cast my vote in New York for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. She's still talking about getting rid of the Electoral College. We have had numerous challenges filed by Trump representatives across the nation in various states, certainly battleground states, and several challenges in each of those states, some repeatedly, some being tweaked a bit and coming back again, and, of course, trying to get the Texas lawsuit directed in the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court did not even want to hear it, did not really pass any judgment on the merits of the case. Just said, not going to hear it. Question. Is it over? Is it over? Is there any way left for Trump and Trump supporters to still stop this and turn it around before January 20 and the inauguration date? Hans von Spakovsky, constitutional expert from the Heritage Foundation, will be joining us later this hour. And that is the very first question to him. Is it over? And Joe Biden making a statement last night, praising the American public after the electoral votes were in and saying it is time for us to come together. He's preaching unity. The same thing, I will remind you, that Donald Trump did when he won the election against Hillary. And in fact, before we are wrapped up today, you're going to hear Trump back at that date, and his remarks pretty much echo what you're hearing from Biden today. But, of course, the left was never going to give him a chance to unify. Biden's got problems inside his own party. He's preaching unity, but many inside the left do not want to unify you. They still want to destroy you. Kamala Harris already calling for gun reforms. She did it again yesterday. Biden following along. And, of course, an increase in abortions and numerous other, including open immigration. And there's already a problem at the borders, and apparently the Biden team did not think it's going to happen this fast. And, of course, we have the vaccine being rolled out, and yet you got the mainstream media like CNN saying vaccines won't save the U.S. from devastating months ahead. And talking about how vaccines are trickling across the U.S. Never any good news from that side, right? We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500. But my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We the people voted. Faith in our institutions held. The integrity of our elections remains intact. And now it's time to turn the page, as we've done throughout our history, to unite, to heal. As I said in this campaign, I will be president for all Americans. I'll work just as hard for those of you who didn't vote for me as I will for those who did.
Those are the words of Joe Biden speaking last night after the Electoral College numbers were reported. It sounds unifying. Now, he was having trouble battling either a cough, sore throat, something of that nature, dry throat. I can sympathize with that. It hits me from time to time. So don't read anything into that, that it has anything to do with his health. I don't want you to jump to that conclusion. But I want you to focus on what he had to say. He says, time to come together. And you're going to hear a few more things along that from him. But what he's doing is pretty much repeating what we heard from Trump on the night that he said Hillary just called and conceded. And he starts saying it's been a bitter campaign, but we need to really kind of put things aside. Let me read you the exact script, and I'm going to let you hear it in the next hour, but let me read a portion of it right here. His remarks, Donald Trump's remarks on the night that he won the election, he said, now it is time for America to bind the wounds of division, have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. Very much what you heard from Biden. But do you remember how the media treated Trump and his remarks at that time? They were immediately challenging them because they thought he was, quote, an illegitimate president. The very thing Trump is trying to state about Biden, and they're upset. You cannot call the man illegitimate. They had no problem doing it. And for four years, the resist movement continued to attack Trump during the administration. A.G. Barr yesterday, either, depending on your understanding, either resigned or was fired by Trump. Now, A.G. Barr had acknowledged that, yes, he knew about some of the investigations into Hunter Biden back in the spring of last year, but he worked to keep it quiet. He did not want that information to come out and affect the election. Now, he hasn't said that directly, but the Justice Department guidelines are suggesting that's why it was being kept quiet. They didn't want to do anything to affect the election. I insist again, by not letting it be known to the public, that also affected the election. We'll deal with that another time. Let's just look at the fact with Barr either resigning or firing. Trump was very upset with him. He said, if you've known this all the time, and many of the hardline conservative voices, such as Mark Levin, that appears on this station, said, good riddance for Barr. He should have been gotten rid of long ago. Good to get rid of him. But Barr did say in his resignation letter, talking about how this president has accomplished so much in the face of constantly being challenged. Every day of the administration, they were looking for something that they could try to show that they caught him in something, a lie, a scandal, whatever. And, of course, the Russian collusion thing caught fire. And then it moved to quid pro quo. And then it led to impeachment efforts. I mean, it was a constant thing. So every time I hear those on the left say, you guys just need to roll over and accept the fact that Biden won, my response is, well, first of all, even if I want to say it's all over, there's nothing else left to be done, do you think I have to just bow down and accept because you proclaim from your high moral perch, which you do not have a right to stand on, that we should all get behind Joe Biden? And it's not so much Biden I even worry about. It's those behind him. It's Kamala and those behind her. There are some things that are going to happen with this nation if they get their way, especially by winning the Georgia Senate race. If they get both of those seats on January 5, it is going to be a major disaster for this country. I'll give you some examples in a moment. But one thing Joe Biden also did last night in making his speech, he did take time while he's talking about everybody coming together. And I want to tell you right now, there are those on the left, they had no intention to come together. They do want to destroy you. You want an example before I go any further? Let me give you one. Wanda Sykes, actress, said she is praying for all Trump supporters because those who voted to reelect President Donald Trump are all somewhat racist, even if they don't realize it. They're going to continue to play the race card. Wanda Sykes appears on the program Black-ish and had done other programs. The tweet is, if you voted for Trump, there is a racist bone in your body. It might be in your pinky toe, but it's there. Now, I don't know, again, how that relates to minorities who voted for Trump. Is she saying they're also racist? Trump increased his vote share with almost every ethnic minority, including blacks, Latinos, Jews, and Muslims. So I guess all of you in those categories who voted for Trump, you don't know it, but you're racist. Now, again, that's just one voice and one from Hollywood. But that's the belief inside the real progressive left anyway. And when Biden starts going through the challenges that Trump filed, legal challenges, he is adding fuel to their fire. And he just finished saying, time for us to come together. But before he got to that statement, he wanted to outline the battle he's had to face with Donald Trump.
The Trump campaign brought dozens and dozens and dozens of legal challenges to test the result. They were heard again and again. And each of the time they were heard, they were found to be without merit. Time and again, President Trump's lawyers presented arguments to state officials, state legislatures, state and federal courts, and ultimately to the United States Supreme Court twice. They were heard by more than 80 judges across this country, and in every case, no cause or evidence was found to reverse or question or dispute the results.
I'm not going to challenge anything Biden said. I think he's probably right about the numbers. And it's correct, every challenge put in front of a court or a judge by a Trump surrogate failed, got rejected for whatever reason. But again, Biden says this was not really, this is very interesting, because when you hear this, I want you to keep in mind what Hillary Clinton had told Biden before the election. She told him, do not concede on election night. She said, I did it, and I went back to regret it. She's talking about that because she had the popular vote, 3 million more than Trump, and that he narrowly edged her in the crucial battleground states. Now, of course, you're going to have to consider, or all 3 million of those, were they legal votes, legal ballots, or some of them illegals who were not even supposed to be voting or even dead, whatever. But that was history. This is now. But as we went into this election, she made it clear to Joe Biden, do not concede that night. Fight it, fight it, fight it. So that is exactly what Trump did, fighting it every step of the way, and continues. And Joe Biden is using that to claim that it's unconstitutional. And yet Joe Biden, if he had followed Hillary's remarks and he had lost, and there were as many questions on the left side as there are from those on the right, he would be pursuing these, and I would say he absolutely has a right to. See, I can absolutely tell you with full candor and honesty, if the situation were reversed with as many questions about ballot counting, tabulations, we have a water main break, everybody has to leave, we're stopping counting, and yet we did continue, Dominion machines and everything else, I would still say challenge it as long as you can. And I'd be telling the Joe Biden team to do that. You've got the legal right. But when you listen to Joe Biden go through his litany, it makes it sound like Trump is doing something that Biden never would have considered. Give me a break.
Even more stunning, 17 Republican attorneys general and 126 Republican members of the Congress actually signed on to a lawsuit filed by the state of Texas. That lawsuit asked the United States Supreme Court to reject the certified vote counts in Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. This legal maneuver was an effort by elected officials and one group of states to try to get the Supreme Court to wipe out the votes of more than 20 million Americans in other states and to hand the presidency to a candidate who lost the Electoral College, lost the popular vote, and lost each and every one of the states whose votes they were trying to reverse. It's a position so extreme, we've never seen it before. A position that refused to respect the will of the people, refused to respect the rule of law, and refused to honor our Constitution.
Well, as I said, everything Trump and his team had done fall within the Constitution. And you hear them talking about Trump was trying to get 20 million votes thrown out, those people who voted. I'm thinking about 20 million Trump votes that basically might as well have been thrown out because they got overwhelmed by illegal votes. That's my opinion. There's no proof of major fraud. I will agree with that. But I will never accept that this was a true and fair election. That doesn't make any difference at this point, I know. And I'm willing to accept it and say, let's get ready for the next fight. And by the way, again, Hillary Clinton, in urging Biden not to give in that night, and I told you that when it came to the Electoral College, she already wants to get rid of that again. And she did cast a vote for Biden out of New York yesterday for Biden. And again, the Electoral College vote totaled for Biden 306, Trump 232, which is the exact number that Trump won over Clinton 4 years earlier, 306 to 232. But in the midst of this still, the question remains, if this is decided, if it's done, is there still fraud? Are we just supposed to accept it? Now, the left had no problem with rejecting Trump all these years and creating lies about it. But was there fraud this time?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We need to know what the truth is. I don't know how many votes. There was certainly some fraud. There was certainly some mistakes. There was certainly some problems. But the numbers are just unclear. We don't know. We don't know whether it was retail or wholesale. We know there were retail problems, dead people voting, ballots, hundreds, maybe thousands, not counted. But we don't know whether they're hundreds of thousands or millions. And that's what you need to know from a voter integrity panel. So I'm hoping for the future we can set something like that up and avoid these kinds of, you know, fights. Did it happen? Didn't it happen? And most of us out there don't know.
Those are the words of Alan Dershowitz, famed attorney. Again, acknowledging most of us don't know was there fraud or not. The investigation, the audit of the Dominion voting machines in Antrim County of Michigan got released late yesterday. The question was, how much was that Dominion voting system in those count, in that county in particular, responsible for some of the, let's say, discrepancies? Well, the report that a judge said you can go ahead and release it shows that the system is, quote, intentionally, or at least is the allegation, intentionally and purposely designed with inherent errors to create systemic fraud and influence election results. And the co-founder of the Allied Security Operations Group looking at all this, doing the forensic duplication, said the system intentionally generates an enormously high number of ballot mistakes. So the electronic ballots are then transferred for adjudication. That means when they're kicked out and a person then takes them over. Because something is set up that has a high kickout rate, particularly did in Michigan County. The numbers were so high, and then they started looking at how many votes were changed or came in for Biden. That might have been for Trump. But if it's true that it intentionally generates an enormously high number of ballot mistakes, so then it has to be turned over to a person to do it? Well, the conclusion they found is Based on our study, this leads to voter or election fraud. Intentional mistakes lead to bulk adjudication of ballots, no oversight, no transparency, no audit trail. We further conclude that the results of Antrim County should not have been certified. And that's just one county in one state that was using the Dominion voting systems. Biden has declared victory. Trump's still not conceding. Jenna Ellis, one of the attorneys representing Trump on all of this, said this one report is incredibly important to the election integrity effort as a whole. I guess we have to go back at this point, for most of us, the words of Alan Dershowitz. Was there fraud? Don't know. But do we have faith in the system? Is there another route still for Trump? Is there something else yet to be done? Hans von Spakovsky, constitutional expert from the Heritage Foundation, will join us when we return. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thankfully, a unanimous Supreme Court immediately and completely rejected this effort. The court sent a clear signal to President Trump that they would be no part of an unprecedented assault on our democracy.
Those are the words of Joe Biden, and he was referring to the Texas case that went before the Supreme Court. Joining us now, Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. First question, Hans. Is it over? Are all the routes shut down? Is it over for Trump?
Yeah, I think pretty much so. Yeah, they still got some pending cases in some states, but, you know, they've pretty much not had much success convincing judges to do anything about the evidence that they've unearthed of misconduct and other problems. And with the Supreme Court refusing to take the case filed by Texas, which sought to overcome to overturn the elections in four states, I mean, I think that's pretty much it, particularly with the Electoral College having voted on Monday.
So tell me this. And again, I've seen reports. I want to come back to the Texas case in just a moment, but that Trump could still contest it right to January 20. Is that correct?
Well, he could try, but I just don't think there's any real chance of success of that happening. Look, the only way I think that you could overturn the certification of the Electoral College votes for particular states is if the Supreme Court stepped in and found some kind of problem with the return for a particular state. But they've already refused to do that. Can I just say, though, that Biden saying that this was an unprecedented assault on democracy, that is so wrong.
I agree.
The Trump administration, I mean, the Trump campaign hasn't done anything other than try to use the court to litigate over perceived flaws and misconduct they saw in the election. That's been done hundreds, if not thousands of times throughout our history in all kinds of elections. That's not an assault on democracy. It's using the system the way it was designed to be used.
I made the same point in an earlier segment, and I also stated, reminded the audience, that Hillary had told Biden before the election, do not concede on that night. Fight, fight, fight. And I said, if all the facts were turned around, I would support that Joe Biden has a right to pursue the same things and challenges Trump has done, because it is,
of course,
constitutional.
No, that is absolutely right. So that kind of language has no place in what's going on. Now, what Biden really ought to be saying is that there needs to be further investigation of the eyewitness accounts that have been produced of misconduct and other problems. There ought to be a federal investigation by the FBI and the Justice Department of that. And there need to be investigations by state legislatures and state law enforcement authorities to see if any laws were violated in any of the kind of misconduct that these witnesses say they saw.
Do you think that's likely?
Unfortunately, on the federal level, no. There's no way that a Biden administration will do that. The kind of people that they've been talking about going into the Justice Department will pretty much, they will shut down the part of the criminal division that's supposed to prosecute election crimes. They don't want those kind of investigations and prosecutions going on. Will the states do it? Well, I would hope that in some places there'll be state investigations. But even there, I'm not confident that's going to happen.
Well, to that extent also, I mean, could Trump initiate something now and get it started? And then, of course, Biden can come in and shut it down. And of course, Trump supporters would say he doesn't want to know the truth. That's why he's shutting it down.
He could try, but, you know, the problem that Trump has, and the problem, frankly, that Attorney General Barr has, who, as you know, has now announced he's resigning, is, look, Barr had a handful of political appointees in the U.S. Justice Department to try to run that department. And he was opposed on almost every level inside the Justice Department by the long-term career civil service lawyers there who are almost uniformly anti-Trumpers, liberal Democrats. That was my experience in my 4 years there as a career lawyer. And, you know, they can try to tell, for example, folks in the criminal division of the Justice Department to start investigation, but I can tell you they would slow walk it, and as soon as he's out, they would stop it.
So Trump got really upset with Barr when the word came out the other day that Barr had known about the Hunter Biden investigation and issues back in April, well before the election, and he was working to keep it quiet so it wouldn't affect the election. My opinion is that, pardon me, by holding that information out, you're still affecting the election. And Trump went after him, and then Barr either what, resigns or is fired. How do you see that rolled out?
Well, no, I don't think there's actually evidence that he was fired. I think he's doing what just about everybody in the administration is now doing, because they see the end is near.
They're looking for another job or whatever.
They're out either looking for another job or they're going back into retirement.
Well, what about Barr holding that information if he knew it back then? How do you see that playing one way or the other?
Well, normally criminal investigations are supposed to be kept confidential, because if it turns out your investigation doesn't actually turn up evidence that someone violated the law, the fact that that kind of information came out while you're being investigated can ruin your reputation. So there's nothing unusual about that, that prosecutors are supposed to keep confidential any investigations. Usually we find out about those things because witnesses who've been interviewed, they're the ones that leak that kind of information to the public.
On the Texas case, your colleague Jack Smith, a piece he wrote for Daily Signal, says that the unsuccessful Texas lawsuit raises voting issues states should heed, specifically, I guess, looking at how it was carried out, and I assume that's kind of what you were alluding to a moment ago. There's numerous things, very big questions. Michigan on requiring voter ID, up-to-date voter rules, a lot of things that need to be reviewed. I would expect states that want to do it right will do it. Those who want to keep open for fraud, they're not going to.
Yeah, I mean, the states that won't try to fix this are, for example, I'm sure California and New York. On the other hand, I think states like Georgia and hopefully Texas and other places will try to fix the problems that everything that we've seen in this election has shown needs to be fixed.
And reference the Texas case, when you and I last talked, it was in advance of the case had been was in front of the court. We're going to wait and see about them having the judges make justices gathering and then maybe making their decision. The decision then was really made not based on merit, right? They just simply decided there was no standing for Texas. How does that play?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They basically punted on these.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I think very substantive issues that were brought up and said Texas didn't have standing. For non-lawyers, what that basically means is you have to show that you had a concrete injury before you can sue somebody. So you can't just sue your neighbor because you don't like them. You got to show that somehow they injured you or damaged your property. And what the court was saying was that Texas can't show that it was somehow injured by the way Georgia and Wisconsin, for example, conducted their elections. I don't think that's correct. I think Texas actually made a good argument that has standing, but, you know, that's unfortunately what the Supreme Court said.
Well, one case, of course, also involved Michigan, and as you know, there'd been a forensic examination of what happened in one county in Michigan on the Dominion voting system, and they found that it was basically, in their opinion, geared to kick out an enormously high number of ballot mistakes, so it couldn't go through the machine. It had to be hand reviewed. Now, the Dominion system all over, is that going to have to be reviewed before we have another major election?
I think every state that's using Dominion equipment, and particularly software, needs to go in and closely examine it, frankly, retest it, and take a look at these kind of reports that are coming out to make sure that this is equipment that they can trust to use in their state.
Bottom question, last question. I mean, this is where it is now. Down the road, even if it's proven 2, 4, 5 years from now, all kinds of fraud took place, this is in the books. The game's called.
That's right. There's nothing you can do about it. It didn't take too long after Lyndon B. Johnson's election to the U.S. Senate for folks to figure out that he had actually stolen his first election. But by then, it was too late to do anything about it. And he made it all the way to the presidency of the United States.
Hans, as always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Hans von Tobolkowski, constitutional expert. Really appreciate having his input. We'll take a break when we come back. The vaccine being rolled out, and yes, there are some side effects some folks will have. The question for you is, will you take the vaccine? Are you going to respond if your company or your employer tells you you have to take it? What would be your response? Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Got a name, Waking Bone Man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain of water that you won't let Jimmy start. Big boy, can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's a great day. It's a historic day. This is the beginning of the end, but we've still got a few miles left to run in this race. There were no cutting of scientific corners. It was the cutting of administrative red tape. It was massive funding, which allowed us to scale up production even as the vaccine was being produced. These vaccines are safe, and I will get one as soon as they tell me that I can.
Well, those are the words of our Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams. And says this Pfizer coronavirus vaccine is rolling out and is the beginning of the end of the race. And, of course, other vaccines are still in the pipeline coming out as well. The CDC is reporting that you will have possibly some side effects. Normal signs your body is building protection. They might affect your ability to do some daily activities, but should go away in a few days. Some might have serious allergic reactions, and if you've had a severe allergic reaction to that vaccine or anything like that before, then obviously you need to make sure you check with your doctor. Some of the side effects that are common, pain, swelling at the injection site, not unlike other vaccines. Some might have fever, chills, be tired, a headache. In other words, you might feel like I got COVID. Well, they say those events are going to be typically short-lived. Do you think going forward there'll be an acknowledgement by the Biden administration for how Donald Trump, along with Mike Pence and the COVID task force, got pharmaceutical companies to ramp up and get this out? And again, Surgeon General Dr. Jerome Adams insisting, we cut no scientific corners, we cut administrative red tape. And that allowed that and massive funding to scale up quickly. Now, I would imagine that they'll continue to say that Trump failed. It was a perfect storm against Trump going into this campaign because with that going on and Democrats all across the country using that as an excuse for more mail-in balloting, folks don't come out because of COVID. You got to stay locked inside your home. Now, here's a health issue that I don't know if this affects you or not. Do you know what they do in Wisconsin generally this as a holiday season? They eat what they call cannibal sandwiches. You ever had one of those? Some of them call it tiger meat. They say this is a holiday staple in Wisconsin. I never knew this. Now, I knew Wisconsin all about cheeseheads and eating cheese and cheese curds and so forth, but I never heard this before. Maybe some of you have. Maybe you've had it. Oh, you want to know what it is if you don't know? Well, I'm sorry. Let me explain it to you. Tiger meat is usually raw beef, on a slice of bread with raw onions. Now, folks might have a problem sometimes with pig's ear and pig's snout, things of that nature. I have a real problem with raw beef, and I think it's a legitimate problem. And in fact, health department is urging them in Wisconsin, don't do this. Eating raw meat, never recommended because the bacteria always needs to be cooked. You know what the reaction from some of those that like it is? Every year we have lettuce called back that we got sick from lettuce, so why can't I eat my beef? And it is true. How many times every year we have lettuce, romaine, or some other type called back because it might make you sick. Wisconsin still says that they've had more than a dozen cases in 1 year in particular that all came from E. coli bacteria. And they had outbreaks in the state in the 70s and the 90s, according to the AP. But again, in the words of the Department of Health and Services, Health Services in Wisconsin, raw meat sandwiches are a holiday tradition for many Wisconsin families, but eating raw meat is never recommended because of the bacteria it can contain. Ground beef should always be cooked to 160 degrees. What's that? What I'm hearing from some of my Cajun friends? Oh, the raw oysters. Yeah, yeah, folks do that too. Yeah. But, and celery, raw celery. Yep, they do. Yep. I mean, I guess you choose your poison. How's that? You choose your own poison this time around. Personally, I'll pass on the raw beef. And I have, as much as I like oysters, I don't really like to take them raw anymore. I, despite all the hot sauce and everything else on them. And calf oysters, oh, you don't know what new calf oysters are? You don't know what Rocky Mountain oysters are? You know what calf fries are? Well, let me put it this way. There's a cutting on the bowl, and the cutting is in served. Deep fried, usually in Texas. Deep fried. I mean, you're going to have it. You might as well deep fry it. A lot of ketchup, a lot of hot sauce. So you keep your raw beef, and I guess I'll stick with calf fries or mountain oysters. Hey, coming up in the next hour, more on trying to bring us all together. And yet, many on the left looking to divide us more so. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.